So the topic that I'm going to be speaking about today is spiritual warfare. So the title I have is War is Upon Us. You know, this message is going to be simple, so don't be worried about it or anything like that. I'm a simple person. The Lord speaks to me because my mind, I feel, is very simple. So it's going to come out very simple. But it's something that, even though it's a simple message, it's something that needs to be talked about on occasion, because it's easy for us to get caught up in life. It's easy for us to get busy and not to be able to see what's going on around us at times and not to be able to understand the truth, because we can get so focused on what we're doing that we start to lose sight in what's really going on. So this is more, the Lord's put it on my heart just to kind of bring it up so that way we can keep it on our forefront to be able to understand. So let's picture this. Picture in your mind, if right outside the door there was a whole battalion of Abram tanks running down the street, or fighter jets hovering or zooming past the building, or a bomb goes off next door to the building and you feel the percussion and the rumbling of the ground, or maybe you hear machine gun fire going off back and forth from one side to the other. Or maybe as you were sitting there, somebody came inside and grabbed somebody and drug them away. When you think about those things, that's warfare, right? That's what we would see if we went to a place where there was actual physical war going on. But when we talk about spiritual warfare, is it not the same thing? Just because you don't see the bombs going off, you don't see the army attacking, is it not happening? Right. And when you think about that, it starts to put in perspective, where are we at? What is going on? Because it is so easy that, just like the words were saying, you know, Satan wants to deceive you. He wants you not to realize that there's a war going on. He wants you to think that everything is good, because he knows his time is short. And if he can keep you for that short period of time not understanding the truth, then he might just get you. Because he knows if you have Jesus in your life, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light in the darkness, not because of you, but because of who you have in you. And he knows that. So that's why it is so important to keep these things on our forefront. And maybe you already are, and that's great. But again, this is what the Lord's put on my heart. So I believe that he is wanting to open some eyes and maybe stir some people up. But first, we need to know which side are we on, right? Because if there's a war, that means there's one side and another side, right, to have a war. We need to realize that there's no neutral ground. You know, as kids, we played Capture the Flag. Has anybody ever played Capture the Flag growing up? And there's always a base, right, where you can be safe. Well, just so you know, in this spiritual battle, there is no base. There is no safety unless you're with the Lord. So when you think about that, because there's people who say, well, I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to stand on the backside, right? If I'm neutral, then I'm safe. But you're not. If we go to Matthew 12, and I'm going to start with verse 29. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possession unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. So that's Jesus talking. So he's telling you that Satan's going to come in and he's going to try to tie you up so that way he can rob you. And he's letting you know that if you're not with him and you don't believe in him, then you're against him. If you're not gathering with him, you're scattering. So let's take a second here and reflect. Where are you at right now? What side are you on? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Or do you not? Maybe you say, well, I'm not for sure. Well, there's definitely a war going on, and there is definitely a choice that needs to be made. Now, I want to talk about some different ways on how these attacks are going to come, because I don't want to really focus on Satan or his schemes. What I want to focus on is the biblical principles and the things that God has given us to overcome them. Because, see, Satan's already lost. Jesus has already won, and he knows that. So if we go to the next slide here, yep, there they are. He'll come with sudden or extreme onslaught of various troubles, losses, and trials. We can see this in the book of Job. Job, did he do anything wrong? No. He was a righteous man. But did he have spiritual warfare going on? Did Satan attack him? It took everything dear from him, right? Just about. All of his possessions, his kids, you know, he tried to destroy him in so many ways. Spiritual warfare. You know, whenever I speak, it seems like, or often, I'll come across times where it seems like, and I don't realize it till it's like the last minute, and I'm like, man, why is things getting so difficult? Just like preparing for this week, all of a sudden, at work, the whole workload and everything increases so much. All of a sudden, we now had tours of CEOs and everything coming in, and I managed not only the maintenance of the whole area, but also the grounds and everything. So now I have to make sure everything is in tip-top shape. So you have all this added stress and all this extra stuff. And then all of a sudden, I have all these uncanny breakdowns. I know this isn't going to make sense to you, but we had one of our worst meltdowns in one of our pulverizers that we've ever had. You know, and it's just another thing that just starts tying up your time. When I'm trying to study and prepare, you know, my lunchtime, I took my computer in. And I thought, well, I want to take my lunch, and I'm going to use this time to kind of study and get ready, because just as busy as things are getting at work, they're getting busy outside of work. And I'm trying to get into this word and trying to make sure I had everything ready. And it just seemed like no matter what I did, it just the attack just kept increasing. Not only from that, I'm a person who does not like drama, and I'm sure most people don't, but I really don't like drama. And then all of a sudden, I have all kinds of drama this week, and I'm like, it just came out of the blue. I'm like, seriously, you know? But that is a form of an attack, right? Trying to keep us from being the salt to the earth. Another one can be attacks of physical dangers, illness, life-threatening loss. A good story in the Bible is in Daniel. I have more scriptures, so I'm just kind of going through these because I don't want to get tied up in a lot of time on them. But in Daniel, was he under attack? Was his life in danger? Yeah, they threw him in a lion's den, right? Do you think that was a spiritual attack? You know, another testimony, just almost a year ago, the first time that I got up here and spoke, my wife has SVT, which is supraventricular tachycardia. Some people know it, some people don't. But what happens is it's an extra electrical beat to your heart, and it can cause your heart to race to over 200 beats per minute. And the last time I spoke, she was sitting back there, and she came under one of these SVT attacks. I had no idea what's going on. I'm up here speaking. She goes out, and she's trying to get prayer. Jenny Armstrong, she is helping out with the medical firefighters and stuff like that. She put the thing on, was reading her heartbeat, saw everything was there. They were tending to her. I had no idea any of this was going on. And then I can't remember all the details, if it was Abby or somebody asked if Jen would mind if the kids in the Sunday school would pray for her. So she's like, yeah, sure. And she goes back there, and they're praying. And Elijah one of the kids that were in there prayed. And when he prayed, because it wasn't relenting, he prayed, you know, if this is of Satan, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And as soon as he said that, it stopped. Think about that. And I know I'm not the only one that goes through things like this. If you are the salt of the earth and you have Jesus in your life and you're sharing, you're going to be attacked. There can also be increased temptations and luring towards sin and wrong choices. You know, when we think about this in Matthew, where Jesus was tempted in the garden, right? Now, he was Jesus and he was tempted. If you think he was going to be tempted, do you not think that you're going to be tempted by Satan? Absolutely. What about feelings of overwhelming despair, darkness, and fear? You know, the prophet Elijah, after he had that great victory of calling out, you know, the prophets of Baal and building the altar and winning in that, and the confidence and the notoriety of soaking that altar in the lightning coming from heaven and lighting it. You would think somebody like that would have it together, right? But it wasn't shortly after that 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 guy went through some of those feelings of despair and darkness. Think about that. But the beautiful thing about that is God did not leave him where he was at, did he? He understood who he was, and he understood his heart, and he met him there, and he helped him out of it and brought him back into the fight. But again, that's another form of attack, because he understood what God was doing in Elijah, and he wanted to take him out of the equation, right? He didn't want him to be the salt to the earth. It can be, as it was talked about today, deep confusion, feelings of condemnation, guilt, dulled spiritual awareness. You know, Satan's not a dummy. He is very crafty. He's very cunning. He's going to take us and he's going to lure us away. He's going to tell us things in a soft, subtle way that we don't realize. He's going to start consuming our lives with other things other than where we need to be. Because he knows if we can get us not in the right spot, we're vulnerable. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3. It says here, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I wanted to read out of the Amplified how it read, because I really like how it adds in the extra definitions here. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of the flesh and body. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments in every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought and purpose captive to be obedient to Christ." So it says destroying sophisticated arguments. Again, he's not a dummy. You know, we may not realize this, because we can't physically see it at times. But he is, as in 1 Peter 5:8. Eight through 10 here, it says, Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. In the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while with him, will restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. See, he is roaming around. You know, there's a lot of people that get off the grid, right? They go to Alaska or to the Amazon or wherever they go to get away from everything, right? To detach. It doesn't matter where you go. He is roaming. He's determined. And he wants to snuff you out. And he will do whatever it takes to do it. In 2 Corinthians, again, chapter 11, verse 3. But I am afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Even at that time, Adam and Eve were walking in the garden. They saw things that we don't see. They saw God and talked to him physically. They walked in the garden. They did not see their nakedness. They did not see sin and death or hatred. They didn't see any of that. But yet, the serpent was cunning enough to deceive them. Now, they were in that such state to where they don't have a lot of the things that we're going through today, and they were still deceived. That's why he was talking about that, because the serpent is cunning and crafty. And he's looking for you. He's searching. It's not sitting back. He's not saying, well, I've messed with Bob or Bill for a while, so I'm going to leave him go. I'm going to go get Sam. No, he's like a full-on attack on you at all times. Now, I'm not saying everything that comes into your life is spiritual warfare. But what I'm saying is we need to be aware that there is spiritual warfare. We need to be aware that there are attacks. And when you think about it, some of the things I'm getting to here in a minute that we're going to talk about how to keep yourself prepared for those is even Daniel. If you go to Daniel chapter 10 and it's I'm going to read verse 1 through 14 here. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true and concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like a chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So there, this angel that was standing before him, even though the other people couldn't see it, because their eyes weren't open spiritually, they understood something was going on and they ran and hid. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persia kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. So there, Daniel had no idea what spiritual warfare was going on, did he? He was praying. How many of you prayed for something and it's taken a long time for it to come to fruition or come to pass? I know my father-in-law, Bill, he used to tell the story how he prayed for 9 months about moving up here to Alliance from East Liverpool. It took 9 months for him to get the Lord to tell him. Was there spiritual warfare going on? I don't know. But when you hear this story here, could it have been? Absolutely. When you think about these things, and you're thinking when you're praying, and maybe I'm not getting my answer, is it spiritual warfare? Because you are, if you have Jesus in your life, salt to the earth. And Satan is trying to keep you from being effective. You know, in 2 Kings, I'm not going to read it, chapter 6, it talks about Elijah, who was now being besieged by a king and his army. And when he came out that day, the servant came out with him, they saw the army surrounded him because they were going to capture him. And his servant said to Elijah, what are we going to do? And he says, Lord, open his eyes so he can see. And when he opened his eyes, what did he see? Flaming chariots, a multitude greater than the one that was there. We don't always see what the Lord's doing for us at times, but we have to understand it and believe in it. And Elijah was able to, as that army came down to get him, to be able to ask for them to be blinded. And he led them all the way to Samaria before their eyes were opened. And an army that was coming to capture him, he led them away. Think about that. The spiritual warfare that happened, even though we can't see it, it physically touched him. It touched them. An army who was coming to capture him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then it goes on later in that chapter talking about all the armor that you need to be putting on. Because the battle that you're fighting, even though sometimes we're getting bombarded by problems, or sometimes maybe it might be that overwhelming feeling, could be a spiritual attack. And if you're not knowing what to do by the word, it's easy to be able to be defeated. So let's talk about some things here, seven things that God gives us to stand firm against the attack. The first one is he gives us the Holy Spirit, right? When Jesus died and he ascended, he gave us the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is there to strengthen us, to be able to give us discernment of these things that are going on around us. He also gives us the armor of God, which we talked about in Ephesians here. The rest of that's talking about the belt of truth buckled around our waist, feet, you know. Sorry about this. The belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel. So we have to have that armor, because as Satan comes and attacks us, if we don't have that armor, we will be overtaken. Prayer and fasting. You know, in Mark 9:29, it talks about where Jesus and the disciples, where the disciples asked them, why couldn't they cast out a demon? And Jesus said, in the King James Version, this comes with much prayer and fasting. So it goes to show you how important prayer and fasting is to this spiritual warfare that you're going to be going through in your life. Because even though that these disciples walked with Jesus and heard a lot of his teachings, even that they weren't at a point of that spiritual warfare. And then in Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness to be able to overcome. And in his word, filling your heart with the word of God to be able to fight the sword, to be able to fight it off these attacks that are going to be coming against you. Another one is the power of praise. You know, as the time when we come into a prayer and praise is when he invites us in there, that he can build you up, right? He can refresh you. And another one is obedience to Christ. James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he must flee. And being obedient. When you're obedient to his words and you're putting on the armor and you're living a righteous life, you're going to be able to stand firm. You're going to be able to hold fast when that attack comes. And then the blood of Christ, the word of our testimony. In Revelations 12, verses 11, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. So those are tools that we can use to be able to fight off this spiritual attack. You know, God is not a God of confusion. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, he is not the author of confusion, but peace. He is here to bring clarity to you. And as these words were spoken, you know, the depression, you know, the words of, you know, he's not trying to beat you down. He, you know, he's trying to defend you from the attack of the enemy. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to clear it up so it's not confusing, so you can understand. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I hope as I've been speaking here that you guys are seeing the understanding of the importance of spiritual warfare that's happening every day. Whether or not you see it physically or whether or not you can touch it, it's happening. Is every circumstance in your life spiritual warfare? I can't be the judge of that, you know, but I know it's out there. The word says it's out there. Jesus says, you know, there's going to be affliction. That affliction's coming. And he wants you to be prepared. He wants you to understand that you need to have the word of God in your heart. He needs you to be able to spend time in prayer and fasting with him. And worship. And to be listening to the Holy Spirit as you're going through life. And those decisions come up or that attack comes, you can be able to discern on what to do at that time. You know, there's been a lot of attacks, I'm sure, in people's lives here. And you probably can see the footprint of those attacks. And there's some that are probably not here anymore, that those attacks have come and they have not stood. So this is real. And it's not to scare you. It's to encourage you and equip you to be able to stand firm. Because the battle has already been won. Jesus has already conquered death. And Satan knows this is just momentary. He has a short while. And he is pressing to destroy and eliminate anything that God loves and anything that's going to talk about God. And that's why it's important, as we are a family of Christ, to have that same heart, to be able to look out for our brothers and sisters and be able to encourage them and lift them up, to be prepared, to be able to pray for them in this spiritual warfare, to be able to go out for that lost, to have that heart. Because you're either on one side or you're on the other. So as I close up here, if the musicians want to come up, I like to open up an opportunity. Maybe you haven't picked a side yet. Well, guess what? You already did. Because if you haven't put Jesus in your heart, you're on the other side, right? Or maybe you're going through an attack right now. And maybe you need prayer. You need encouragement from your brothers and sisters that are here. I want to open this opportunity as they play this last song to be able to come up. Let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. Or if you need to ask Jesus into your life, somebody to be able to help you through that. Because remember, this is a war out there. Even though you don't see the bombs going off, even though you don't see the machine gun fire or the military out there, it's there. Satan is out there, but so is God. He's out there involved. He's not standing by and watching all this go on. Satan can't do anything without his permission. He's in control. He's won. But we need to do something. We need to accept him in our heart if we haven't and make him Lord of our life. And if he is, we need to press in to his word, into prayer and fasting, and going out and saying that same message to those who are out there that may have not heard it. So again, Lord, I just pray that you would just, if there's somebody here who hasn't received, Lord, that they would be able to come up. And Lord, or if there's somebody who's going through an attack right now, or just going through a time where they just need prayer for whatever it may be, maybe it's an infirmity, maybe it's depression, Lord, I just pray that they would come up, and that way we can pray with them. Just want to thank you for your word, and thank you for your heart for loving us. And just want to thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. No matter how bad we mess up, no matter how ignorant we are at times, no matter how many times we stumble, you're there. You care, and you step out. And you reach your hand out and you lift us up. In Jesus' name.